I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
How often do you get to, ladies and gentlemen, talk to America's most beloved sports writer? Not very often. Not very often. But tonight that opportunity afforded me as Kevin Kernan. Not with Lori Rubenson, as he so often likes to do on Sunday night. But no, he has stepped down in class to double-A ball to talk to Chris Moore. Kernan, how are you?
Oh, that's a great intro, and of course the AMBS, the moniker is said with a lot of sarcasm.
Is it great to be beloved? Because so many of us strive for beloved and never get there. And well, you've achieved.
Let me tell
it.
You, the quick story on it was when the Fenway Park was having its 100th anniversary, whatever the heck it was, way back when. I'm there. I take a selfie. And, of course, they build themselves as America's, America's most friendly ballpark, whatever they do, whatever, most beautiful ballpark. So I take a selfie. Andy McCullough, who used to work here, went to the L.A. Times, is now with The Athletic. I show a picture of a selfie to him in Boston, and he goes, America's most beloved sports writer, America's most beloved ballpark. So that's how it all started. And well, I ran with it.
I'm glad you ran with it, because we need a little more good humor out there, and I personally enjoy it all the time. AMBS says this, AMBS says that. At the beginning, I was like, what is AMBS? Then I had to figure it out. And, of course, a lot of people have figured it out now that America's most beloved sports writer is, in fact, Kevin Kernan. Well, these Mets are making it interesting anyway, and their young talent continues to, despite scouting reports and thinking, they'll figure these kids out and they'll have tougher times in the second half once people get film, et cetera. Pete Alonso has defied all of that, and so has McNeil when he's healthy. And it's nice that they have a base of young offense on this team, isn't it?
And two unselfish guys.
Yes.
And the amazing thing is that the Mets have no clue what they have in either of these players. And that's because, and this is where I get into it with the analytic guys, you never know how big a heart's going to grow. Or how big, someone's going to put their effort into the game. And Pete Alonso is just incredible. The home run he hit today, of course, was his 40th. I had a great talk with him yesterday after the home run, the foul grand slam and how he kind of recentered himself. And he does things, I noticed it in spring training. I'm walking around early in spring training. I see him with a book, like the old-time writer, old-time hitters used to have. And this guy has been planning things the whole year. None of this is fluky. I mean, the hitting is unbelievable, but he has a plan of attack that's incredible. He's a smart kid. That pitch was up, and he jumped all over it. And don't forget, Chris, it's the Manfred ball. So the Manfred ball, you're gonna have to take into account what it really means with everything. But when you have big, strong guys and guys that square it up and hit the barrel like McNeil does, the Manfred ball flies, and that's a good thing for the Mets.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It gives them life. It gives them optimism, regardless of what happens in 2019. How realistic are their chances in your mind? Obviously, they've got a 9-game homestand now. They have a deficit in home games that they will make up in the next week and a half by playing 9 in a row at home. But they're playing very good opponents that are deeper than they are, even if they don't have the starting pitching that the Mets have. What's a minimum record for you in this homestand, and how legitimate do you think their chances are?
Well, obviously if they can win 6 games, that'd be wonderful. And I think they're going to do well. I think they're going to get into the playoffs. I really felt they were going to get into the postseason as a wild card. I thought the Phillies would fade, but the Phillies made a brilliant move, hiring Charlie Manuel, getting him back, getting an old school, a hitting guy back, and he's going to help those guys a lot. And this is, of course, before the crazy game where Callaway took out Matt and kind of gave that one away. So that's two negatives for the Mets. But I still feel they have that starting pitching. It's starting to come around a little bit. Wheeler's been up and down. But Matt is way more confident than he's ever been. Syndergaard will always be Syndergaard. There's always something going on with Syndergaard. It's too sweaty. It's too hot. It's this, that. But if you step back and look, he's you know, he's throwing 98 on a black sometimes, so he's still got it. They got much deeper pitching than anyone I've seen. So I expect the Mets to squeeze in there. I really do.
Wow, that's pretty good because of the competition is so fierce in that the number of teams, for example, Milwaukee playing Washington this weekend, you know, the, not a lot of room for the Mets to win there because they want both of those teams to do some losing. So they're going to run into that quite a bit, and so are the other teams trying to move their way up the ladder. What about this homestand in terms of the talent? Cleveland, Atlanta, Chicago. I mean, that those they'll have to earn it against that group.
You're not kidding. And Cleveland, you know, they just showed what they could do against the Yankees. Francona is one of the best managers in the game. They retooled nicely, getting big, strong guys, getting Puig, big difference maker. I think they're going to be tough, but I think the Mets can hold their own against all these teams. And they've done it. Here's the other thing they've done is that a little bit today, I saw a little sign. I'm not saying it's happening, but I saw a little glimmer of hope with the bullpen with Familia and Diaz. I talked to both of them after the game. I make an effort to try to get as many guys as I can. And both of them, really feeling positive. They made some strides with Phil Regan. And Diaz told me today that his slider, he feels it's really coming back. And he had a good one today, 91-92. Mickey said it was the best he's seen from him. So if they can get that all of a sudden, because if they don't do that, here's what's going to happen. They're going to wear out Lugo. They've already worn out Gazelman. It's very dangerous. They wear out one more guy, then they're dead in the water. So they need those two guys.
Yeah, there's not a lot of margin for error, especially with McNeil out, and we don't know quite yet how well he'll bounce back. And obviously Cano out. They're not a deep team to begin with, but they're certainly getting good performances out of Davis. Ramos has come alive. Rosario's come alive at the plate. Lagares even has shown some signs of life. So things are pretty good right now. I like to say, Kevin, and I don't know that you agree, but I wouldn't be surprised if you did, that you really can't fully evaluate a manager or a head coach until the games are important, until the decisions become, you know, something that really is going to be remembered and going to be talked about a little bit, as we had last week in the Mets Lugo deal and all that. How much pressure in your mind is on Mickey Callaway now that the public believes and everyone believes that these games are important and that the outcomes matter and you're no longer 14th in a 15-team National League, you're in the middle of a race to get into that wild card. How much pressure on him and how do you think he'll do?
Tremendous amount of pressure. What he has to do is not try to please everybody. That's Mickey's personality sometimes. You know, he sometimes just, you know, like Gagne gave up four home runs. He pitched good. He pitched great. Come on. You know, you don't have to be so nice to these guys. You got to be realistic. But I really think there's enough in that clubhouse that really Mickey can just basically, you know, stay out of the way and not mess it up. And they'll be okay. But he's going to be tested because Francona, who knows him better than Francona? You know, he's going to work it. Joe Madden's going to work it. And very interesting what happened to the Braves today, sitting Acuna. I think the Braves know what they're up against, too. And Snicker, he had to make a stand today. And I give him credit because I think you can be friendly with these guys, but you can't be their best friend. It's like raising children. You can't be their best friend. You got to draw the line in the sand sometimes. And that's why I think Mickey needs to get a little tougher mentally and be more Mickey Callaway instead of trying to be people that he thinks Brody Van Wagenen wants him to be. And that's what I would like to see.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. We're talking to Kevin Kernan of The Post, America's most beloved sports writer, by the way. That Snicker today, after Acuna did not run out a ground ball in the third inning, pulled him from the game. And we all know how good Acuna is. And he sent the message, and then afterwards he didn't back down at all in his post-game comments. And I was thinking the same thing you were. I don't think, Kevin, and I'm anxious for your opinion, I don't think Seth Lugo, for example, wants to be called the best reliever in baseball unless he thinks he is the best reliever in baseball. These are not T-ball players. They've been through the ups and downs to get to the pros. They've been criticized and loved. They've been given coaches that were really hard on them and coaches that were easy on them. They're used to it all. They don't need to be coddled. And more to the point, as I've often said with teenagers and curfews, They want the curfew. They want the pressure off of them and on somebody else. The curfew bails them out. And in this case, for players, I don't think players want, you know, I don't think Gagnon wants to hear, you gave up four home runs, you did a good job in there. Diaz, you gave up a walk and a single with the bases loaded. You did great in that situation. Do you think players actually get any benefit from having their manager basically lie in order to show that he is protecting them and is with them?
Absolutely. They get nothing from it. Nothing from it. And a perfect example was with the time Mickey blew up in Chicago. Before that all happened, you know, Lugo was terrible that game. One or two games he was terrible. And Mickey tried to say he pitched well. He had a lot of good stuff. But we went to Lugo, and Lugo said, you know, I threw about 40 pitches. I think one or two were good.
So I remember
getting
that.
Getting to your point, players that are mature realize that. And
winning players. Players that have pride. Players that want to be better.
Exactly. And Acuña, one quick point on that. Don't forget the first ball he hit in the Mets series hit the wall, and he wound up on first base.
I remember
that.
I saw that. Yep, I saw that.
So this is all linked together. I remember talking to the relievers for the Giants when the Giants won 3 out of 5 World Series. By the way, I did tell the Giants and Bochy and those guys they would win 3 out of 5 at that time. I just saw it coming together. And true story. But here's what Bochy does. The players told me, especially the relievers, they say around late August, he puts them in the roles that they need to be in, and he expects them to do well in those roles. He basically creates that situation all season long. Now it's money time. Now you go for it. Now you treat them like men. And I think in Mickey's defense, too, he's got a lot of guys, high-quality guys in that clubhouse, a lot of guys he doesn't have to worry about. Maybe he had to a little bit with Rosario. He coddled him a little bit along, but he's come a long way now. And Cano, very interesting things happening too here. Cano has taken on this kind of coach-mentor role with Rosario to the 10th degree now, because Cano doesn't have to worry about playing, so he's putting all his energy into guys like Rosario, Lagares. And he can't go in the clubhouse without seeing Cano with those guys, whether reading or hanging out, doing whatever. So Mickey's almost gotten a lot of help there from Cano, who's almost like I would equate it to what Carlos Beltran did for the Astros.
Yeah, that's a good sign. It's a good sign for the organization.
And again, it kind of fluky fell their way with Cano getting hurt and McNeil doing his thing. And I talked to McNeil as well today. He's eligible to come off Saturday. We'll see what happens. The thing he wants to be very careful about is not to let it happen again.
Yeah,
so
and that's
I think it'll take a few extra days. And as long as they're getting the hitting in the offense, it'll be there. So, you know, at this point, with DeGrom doing his thing and also Stroman, let's not forget Stroman. Stroman's a great defender, too. That's two good things I like about DeGrom and Stroman. We saw today when Wheeler struggled on the bunt. The Mets have pitchers, for the most part, who can defend. They've done a pretty good job with the, stealing the bases. It's not as easy as it used to be. And I think all that's going to be tested over these next couple of weeks. And I think they're really, and Alonso, I think, has set the tone for the hitters, because he gives you that big guy that could create damage. And nobody, like you said earlier, no one has figured him out yet. They haven't, they haven't figured out his kryptonite.
Well, I'll tell you what, at least we have reason to look forward to what we like to call big games, games that are exciting, games that mean something, games that you look forward to during the day, and then they come at you at night. And we haven't had that in a while, so we're going to take it and enjoy it. We'll put you down as optimistic. Always good to talk to America's most beloved. That's all I can say.
Exactly. And one last point on being home. The Mets really have the home field advantage, bigger than most of these teams now. That crowd and every player talked about it today. They need the energy from that crowd.
Yeah, it's
so
nice to see him. It's nice to see him winning at home again. Thanks, Kevin. Have a great week.
You got it, Chris. Take
care. All right, there you go. Kevin Kernan joining us from the Post.